bro. I don't even know if this is going to go well. This is going to be fucking heavy. I'm hoping to put this like straight to YouTube, hopefully. I'm hoping from Twitch. So I'm just going to start the record. Just in case. We're going to record just in case. Right. So, you think you like knowledge? I give you magical knowledge, I guess. Now, we're just going to be talking about the lore behind magic. I really want to do this for a while. Hello. I'm going to say it now. Hello, I am Paul Metal Mace. I just go between Paul Metal or Paul. Either one. I am a big magic knowledgeable, I would say knowledgeable, but magical guy. I love magic in all sense. Now, when I mean magic, I don't mean real life magic. Real life magic, it's cool and all, that is literally the real life of magic, you know, card tricks, disappearing acts, and all that stuff. That's great, but what I'm talking about is magical lore in gaming, or in fantasy in general. Now, I'm pretty down for this, because I play a lot of fantasy games. I watch a lot of fantasy films, from fantasy to reading books of it as well. And ever since episode 100 of Morgaround, if you don't know what Morgaround is where this is getting streamed live over on radio on Twitch. And yeah, it's my podcast, and we just reached episode 100 of, it's a Final Fantasy 14 podcast. We just reached episode 100, and someone, when we did the episodes for episode 100, someone asked what was Morgaround looking to in the future. Morgaround is going to say the same. It's about Final Fantasy 14. You know, it is mainly focused on Final Fantasy 14 and just talking people of that community. And that's not going to change like anytime soon. But for me, I wanted to do a side project from that, still under the Morgaround name. Like, I'm not going to like go like do this on, say, another channel. Morgaround is basically my bread and butter, and I want to grow it in many different ways. And having this side project that will go on YouTube. And it will stream. It's going to be like a podcast kind of type, where it's kind of just me talking about magic and the different types of magic, different games. Talk about how some are similar, how some are different. Go into the lore of a particular magic, what I will pick, or I would ask someone to pick, and I will read up on it, you know, research it and stuff, and I will talk about it. Today I have chosen blood magic, which is one of my favorite games, and that is Dragon Age. That is where it's from. Blood magic is from Dragon Age, and the Dragon Age series has been right close to my heart. I talk about it like every day, quite literally every day. If you hear my mouse clicking, I'm sorry, because I do have other things on my other screen, so I've got like a bunch of other research and stuff. I got the wiki up and everything, so we can sit there and talk about it. But blood magic is by far my favorite type of blood magic, I would say, because it is forbidden in the game. So we use it, but it is forbidden in the game and forbidden in the lore of Thedas. And I will obviously talk so much about it. I'm actually just going to quickly... So I do this live. I feel like me doing this live is a whole lot more... a whole lot more better than doing anything else. You are going to hear my keyboard. Actually, no you're not, because I can do so. So you're going to hear a lot, but I do podcasting technically for a living, and I still use the word or the thing it's kind of a back burner, because I'm trying to think, my brain needs to get fast. But blood magic is definitely, blood magic is a, I would say it's a kind of love of mine. I do support it. Well, I don't support it, because I know it has a tie in with the blood magic. Blood magic is basically, you're not using mana or lyrium. You're using the very life essence of, say, a sacrifice or of the user. Okay, it would be yours. So if you want to use blood magic, you'd have like your health, your blood is the resource you're using. So in theory, but blood magic is a very strong magic, because it's direct from the blood, and there is magic in your blood. Okay, that's how you got to be magical in the first place, you know. And say you were going to sacrifice a mage, it would be way more potent, because they already have magic in their blood. So you can't just grab like an everyday slave. Well, you can, because their blood is still potent to make more powerful spells. That's what blood magic is. Technically, it's to it's to enhance it, make the spell your... Yeah, enhancing. It's enhancing the spell to make it more powerful, in a sense. So it's cool, but it does have its like own kind of like side effects, I would say. But I have like I read a lot, and I actually had a conversation about this on a on a Discord, and they said blood magic cuts you off from the Fade. But I've been reading, and nowhere has it said that. I could just be like not seeing it at all. Or it makes your connection to the Fade like smaller, or you know, how saying you're getting, what is the word for it? I'm losing my words. So say you could be like cut from the Fade, and that's where all your magical, that's how you become tranquil. So you're completely cut off from the Fade, and like you have no dreams, no ambitions, and all that. But we'll get into tranquil and tranquility. It's still magical because it was just a way to stop. It's used to touch the Fade whilst casting spells. Okay, but doesn't say how to cut. Okay. So it's usually do not touch the Fade. So I don't know if that says, you know, you can't touch the Fade whilst using blood magic, but using other blood magic? I don't know. It could possibly be. But that's how the Treventa are the first ones who found blood magic, was Thedish. I'm going to butcher names. I've never been really good when, like, if it's not like four letters. Paul. Paul is just fucking. Thanaton? It's bad. He was like the first priest of Treventa. Dormat. You know, he was the first person that had blood magic, and that's how blood magic became into Thedas. Thedas and Treventa. If you don't know Dragon Age, please like go like play the and like you'll and read the books. The books are great as well. I've got a bunch of them over, and so I'm very nervous. I've been doing podcasting and talking for so fucking long that I still get nervous with. So this is the first step. It'll get better. Blood magic is a school of magic, obviously, but yeah, it uses blood as fuel. I've probably talked about this. Let's talk about history. First thing to build what to wield blood magic was Thedas, and he was dedicated as the honorary archon, person the old gods of Dorm Chantry, the Treventa Imperium, and more likely than blood magic was learned from the ancient elves of Ivalin. My pronunciations are terrible. When I played the game, or play the games many times over, the voice acting was so good because I understood it. But trying to say them, like, I'm dyslexic as well, like, trying to say these words are very, and I mean very, obtuse. I don't know if that's even a fucking word. But, like, yeah, this is plus 18. I'm sorry, I swear a lot. I am from the UK, and I do swear a lot. I'm not saying that all UK people swear. I just swear a lot because that's how I'm weird. In a vague, but the magical, it's not, blood magic is, well, is very, 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 and I mean very frowned upon. Blood magic in the sense of the essence of how blood magic is used is very frowned upon. Because what blood magic actually does, it opens the Fade. It opens it up so you can have anything come through. Okay, demons who live in the Fade can just come out like that. So it's very dangerous, and can, in a sense, you can use blood magic to possess or to get demons to possess people, which is absolutely terrible. But you can use blood magic in all different types of ways, not just that. Like in Dragon Age 2, Meryl, she uses blood magic to take off a ward, a garden ward, that a defensive barrier that was blocking your path. And, you know, and she used her own blood for that. She didn't use anyone else's. She didn't sacrifice anyone. You know, she used her own blood. Her own blood. Which, in a sense, I still find that cool. Because you would say blood magic is a very, you know, you use later on. Like, or in a dire situation, you would use blood magic to get out of, like, hefty situations. But in find that, like, not a lot of people research or, you know, what's the word? Use it. Because they will get killed on the spot by a Templar. It is very, you know, if you even use it, even study it, even, you know, talk about it, you will get clapped. Like, you will get you are not living that day or ever. You're just but there are obviously mages, and that's why a lot of mages, if they do research it, like, probably like what I would probably do is just hide it, and then, you know, it would come out, and then I just have to run and hide from it. But how obviously blood magic became, not became blood magic because it was always there, but how it kind of entered Thedas was obviously the Treventa Imperium, the guy who ran it, he knew of it, he studied it, he used it. And that's how the first Darkspawn, and then that's how the first Darkspawn were actually made, is because they entered the Treventa Magistrate. These guys entered the Golden City, you know, they went into the Fade, but what, and that's how they used blood magic. They used blood magic to get into the Fade, go up to the Maker's Temple, God, like the God of Phaedus, the Maker, his temple, and Juste's temple, just to find out that they're... Yeah, there's no one in there, and then they got corrupted, and, you know, and that's how they turned into Darkspawn. Darkspawn, a whole fucking other creation. They're evil. I'll give you a tilde of what Darkspawn are. They have, like, bed witness and impossible joining. Basically, they are tainted. They're tainted human. Tainted people. Darkspawn. See, Darkspawn... Is it like a tilde? Yeah, the Darkspawn are a race of humanoid tainting creatures that mostly dwell in the undergrounds of Thade. They are believed to be soulless when the Darkspawn... uncovered one gods, they exposed to the taint, changing into an archdemon, which leads them into the surface world called Blight. There you go, there's Tildia. Okay, the Darkspawn are perhaps the single greatest threat towards Thaddeus. They are bloodthirsty and inscriptive to kill, like, and corrupt all in their path. Basically, they're blad. They're like the plague. They're like, it's technically like COVID. This was the wipe out. It's basically, the Blight is literally actually a lot of plagues are called the Blight. And that's what it is. And we could go into, like, more lore if you really want about Darkspawn and shit, and how, like, Grey Wardens drink the blood of Darkspawn, come Honus and said, because that's Grey Wardens is what you need to defeat a blood, like, they can kill an archdemon. Okay, back to blood magic, and that's how blood magic technically helped a world. We're not talking about Darkspawn, we could go on and on about it if we really want it. Remember, guys, have a drink with you, stay hydrated, because like me, your throat gets rather parched when you sips water. Like a, get those mana potions in you. So it is condemned in the world. Blood magic is condemned in the world of Thaddeus, present day. Blood magic is described as being one of the most sinister types of magic. The efforts of the Chantry and the Templar Order is testament to this forbidden discipline, over countless of years, and have all but eradicated its practice outside the Tevinter Imperium. So the Tevinter Imperium, they still believe. They don't condone it outright, because they do, because they use it to, like, this modern day. They all use different types of blood magic. They use blood magic in researching other magic. That's what the Tevinter doesn't see no condemn of it, and that's what the Chantry and Templar Order don't like about that. Yes, there is a Chantry and Templar Order over in the Tevinter, but over there. Over in the Tevinter, magic rules over man. If you have magic, you can get into position as a man over in Tevinter. In Thaddeus, we don't want that. In Thaddeus, no one wants that. Do you know why? Because it's bad. You know, you don't want... People ruling people is stupid, honestly. Actually, no, it's not stupid. Everyone needs, like, one leader to follow and show an example. But having, obviously, magic, you know, magic is not, you know, supposed to rule over man. It's supposed to, you know... I messed up. It's supposed to add it here somewhere. Yeah, magic exists to serve man and never rule over him. Like, Jesus, I don't know. I'm so scared doing these today, man. What page are we on? What page? It's magic is never supposed to rule over man, and that's what the Templar Order and Chantry have kind of squashed out, and that's why the mages rebelled. That's why mages rebelled, because the Templars were literally hands on throat, constant, you know. And a lot of people don't want that. You know, magic is never supposed to serve a man. But most mages don't want to anyway. They just want to live normal lives. You know, go outside, fucking play in the tree, you know, have a wife and kids, you know. That kind of life. And that's why evil people. Magic doesn't make you evil, you know. It's the person that makes magic. You know, it's how you meet, like, magic is not evil in the whole term, it's just how you use it. And that's why some of them obviously turn to blood magic, demons and shit, and that's how you become a abomination, because it gives you a big risk when you use it, obviously, to become a... Standing as a blood mage, you're basically calling on demon / fade to kind of be a bidden, really. Like, honestly. And the solar succession of being the creation of phylacteries. Just like there are no evil Pokemon, just people who use Pokemon for emo, aka teamwork. Yeah, good analogy. Yeah, it's the same. For all you people that, like, listen to this, we've got a YouTube. This is live on Twitch. If you want to come, I talk in the chat, we can have a conversation like that. Because that's how I do stuff. I am a streamer first when it comes to this. I have never done anything to do with YouTube. I've always been a streamer first / podcast. That is, it's like, shit, if I do this live, it's fine, you know? And that's what I'm doing. I'm doing it live, and we are recording it. So I'm always going to like take this from Twitch and just take it straight. It's interesting. It's very interesting. Where are we? Yeah, phylacteries. Though the art can be taught by a blood mage to an apprentice or self-taught, via a manual, it can also be learned by contacting a demon. Which, yeah, so that's how you get to know a blood magic. Obviously, because most blood mage manuals have become eradicated, because obviously Templar Order Enchantry didn't want people to know our blood magic, but I think it's like kept in like a special vault read, I think. Which is probably, yeah. Or contacting the demon, which is the risk of becoming an abomination. Now, if you play Dragon Age Origins, that's how you learn of blood magic, is where you're in Redcliffe and you're trying to save Connor, the son of the Arl. And Jawen, is it Jawen? I think it's Jawen. Jawen. He is a blood magic. He is a blood mage. So, but honestly, I don't blame him. I know a lot of people have said, oh, what he did, it was wrong. Because, yeah, you know, he pointed and he tried to teach Connor, who Connor is like a, and all that. And he got possessed by a demon. And how you don't get that demon to get out of Connor's body is that you basically make a deal with him, or make a deal with the demons. It's like, hey, you teach me blood magic. The thing to do was like, you teach me blood magic. No, they would teach you blood magic, and you know they will stay out of the boy for so and so years. I think it was like 4 or 5 years, or like I think it was like 10 years. Which, me being me, I was always like, yeah, you know, yeah, thanks, thanks. I'll take blood magic now. Thank you. And, you know, I'd be a blood mage then. I was like, you know, I don't think we really knew what happened to Connor. I think he went off to the Circle, if I remember correctly. I haven't played Dragon Age Origins for a while since it kept crashing on my PC, which it still does to this day, and I don't know, because that's probably why. But that's how you, like, learn to become blood mage, or if a blood mage teaches you, which that would be cool if a blood mage could teach me how to do blood magic. Common wisdom holds that there is no way to use blood magic with good intention. Even blood mages who tap their own blood often find a need for the power of others. they're also known to try and control those minds and to summon demons, the treasure and demons. That'd be cool though. Sounds like just like summon demons, like do your bidding for a while and then like send them back. Kind of how like how Inquisition, you have the mark and you can like open up portals to the Fade and shit and like suck out demons. You know. But if you can harness to that, you get demons to do your bidding, but obviously they can turn on you as well if you don't have like the power to control them. Would be cool though. Like, no doubt would be. So I've got to scroll down. Control minds of the others and some demons, just treacherous. But magic is allows the veil to be opened completely, so they physically pass through it into the physical world. Fear of blood magic has stagnant even some non-magical fields of research. Autonomical. Man, I'm fucking terrible at this. However, not all see blood magic as inherently evil despite its scenarios or the stereotypes that blood magic is limited to mad and monster. Well, I'm pretty mad. This is not factually true. Solace from Dragon Age Inquisition states that the blood magic is no worse than other magic properly used. Mages such as Meryl also see no harm in a discipline as so long as blood is tapped from self or a willing participant that does not lead to a sacrifice or another life. So say, hey buddy, can I just use your blood a minute, but it's not going to kill you, just to, you know, like, I'm saying, you know, yeah, that's cool, or just use your own, which I like. Blood magic not necessarily to be used for wicked purposes, rather it can be used for nobler purposes. Ferelden's blood band, for example, is an old cod's cult with a blood mage leading them. The head mage uses his magic for the good of the group, protecting them, healing their crops and their bodies. See? That's what I would use blood magic for. I guess I could like sit there and be like, oh Paul, you just like that because you like vampires. In a sense, yes, I do like vampires, and true, but I don't think vampires like think. Healing the crops. In exchange, the members of the blood band bleeders provide him with their blood. Though it remains as violent, and many see blood magic as magic that is truly for physical spirits. Okay. So I believe it can be used either so long as abused. Also true. I would always see blood magic as a last resort / maybe in the moments, you know? Oh, you know, you're heavily wounded, and if I don't heal you, you could die. I'll just use some of my blood magic. There you go. You know, again, it's pretty good. I mean, you could say you could use, say, okay, this is a speculation. So you could use an old person. An old person, you know, they're dying a little bit and they want to use their bodies for the greater good. You could use it, say, for the blood band, who basically, you know, use the magic to heal crop bodies, protect them and all that shit. I think that would be good. I guess the person will feel like a sense of like, I'm doing this for the people I love and stuff, and then they can just but obviously blood magic does use obviously the more of how they died, like did they die gruesome deaths like that, it powers it up a lot more. Could be good. I think it will. We just read that one. Even if the application of blood magic may not eternally hinder you, the chance we recognize it as dangerous and strictly forbids the use of blood magic as part of its doctrine. Mages uses blood magic are labeled Malefi or Malakaka. I fucking hate trying to say that word. I just call it Malefi or Malaka. And are hunted by the Templar Order, which creates the purpose of mages killing demons and hunting down apostates. Generally all known by sight. So I'd probably be killed in sight. But you know, the games, even if you took the blood mage bet. But yeah. If you took the blood mage spec for in Dragon Age Origins, Dragon Age 2, it didn't really enhance the story. Like, Templars didn't come kill you, you know, even though they knew, like, party members didn't. Like, I think it would have been cool if it did that a little bit more in the story, you know. In Dragon Age 4, if blood magic does come back, say, like, I could use it as a spec, it would make me happy, because that would be my canon shtick. I think that'd be cool. I'm just saying. And for you know, my canon is necromancer, Dorian lover. No, leave it. That's my canon. Well, yeah. Evil Malakai hunted down. All apostates are hunted, regardless of their origin, with the chantry reasoning that any mage left unsupervised by the chantry or the Templars will ultimately succumb to blood magic. Again, why? Like, I don't know why they would do that. Oh well, okay. They're scared of mages. I understand that. We understand that they're scared of magic. But to some temptation of blood magic. So say a mage that's just chilling with the family, don't really give a shit about their magic. Yeah, a lot of mages out there don't honestly care. Like, if you go around the NPCs of like mage NPCs, like they're just like, you know. that really like don't really like magic that much, you know. It's very weird to say a lot. Sorry, I had to take another drink. My throat. See, you have all the reasoning and the magic. Whilst all apostates are not known necessarily for Malakaj butchering that, the chantry appears to go to great lengths to make it seem, and significant numbers of mages turn to blood magic outright or escape imprisonment. Again, which is true. They just want to live and they just want to be free. Chill. The circle of magi endeavors to supervise all individuals with the gift of magic from an age to ensure none of them tap the forbidden school. However, even their consort's vision allows the occasional magi to slip through their fingers and out. Again, true. It's a Jowen. Still don't know how fucking Jowen even got out of the circle. Like, shit. He just did one spell and that was it. Like, where are the rest of all the Templars? Like, hello? Okay, so then we're going over to the Trenchfeder Imperium. Yeah, I'm not pronouncing it. Stavinta Imperium. Blood magic is officially discouraged, but it is widely, if quietly, practiced there. Since Adrastate specifically spoke against blood magic, it has ceremony, and it's not formal. So this is nowadays Imperium, not the olden days before the Blight. However, since most heroes of Tefinter like folklore used or befitted or benefited from blood magic, the practice does not carry as much stigma as it does anywhere else. The traditions of blood magic are quietly passed the master to the apprentice, and even the most devoted knows at least a little. According to Fenris, oh, the good man. The Imperial Templars have to stop mashes across the. To elaborate, Tevinter does not consider the most moderate use of blood magic inherently dangerous, e.g., the use of blood participant. The moderate use of blood magic can only be garnered so much power, however. The Linus Cross were made to start using sacrifices and demon summoning, and it's safe to assume any mage of rank doors. Others are quietly shut out. Those who protest against such widespread use of blood magic are blackballed from power, shunned by others. So in other words, if you cross the line, say obviously start like using sacrifices and demon summoning, your rank is slipped, you will not gain any more power. Get any more power from the Tervinter Imperium, and other magisters would be like, dumb fuck. Get out of here. Okay, so that's kind of the present day Thedas situation that blood magic is, and in the history, I've kind of gone. So now we're going to spells and powers. So basically, if you don't know what I'm looking for, I'm looking at the Dragon Age wiki, kind of just reading stuff off that, and kind of commenting here and there. If you enjoy it, leave a like. Remember to subscribe. Subscribe. I don't know, that just sounds fucking good shit. If you like it, enjoy it, I guess. Like, fuck, this shit's free. Like, geez, I ain't doing this for money. I'm having a good time myself, actually. We're talking about magic. Magic excites me, and a lot more people should, like, because magic, yeah. Okay, so we're looking at the power of blood magic. First and foremost is the practice of using blood life itself as potent fuel for spells. This life may be supplied by either the mage, either willing or unwilling, such as the use of blood magic often allows a mage to cast spells that would otherwise be beyond the ability of any other mage, or require the use of Illyrium. The magistrates of ancient Imperium were known to keep numerous slaves on hand as blood sacrifices, or dosed casting. Probably said that word wrong. A practice that is perpetrated by some blood mages in the present day. It should be noted that more violent the pain or death used in blood magic, the more powerful the spell becomes. I just press badly. I need to scroll back up. Originally, the blood magic was not considered a school of its own. Rather, it was a means to augment spells from any other school. I said earlier, it augments. In time, however, magisters discovered that certain spells only be formed by using the power of blood, such as blood wound / hemorrhaging. So I got blood. Can I click that? Aha. Ha ha. Blood Wound is a mage spell from Blood Mage Specimen in Dragon Age. Just have like the information that is required for. There's like area effect. Description. Here we go. So the blood of all hostile targets in area boils within their veins, inflicting several damage. Oh, severe damage. Sorry. Targets stand twitching, unable to move unless they pass a physical resistance check. Creatures without blood are immune. See, that's just cool. I'm just saying that's cool, but it's very frightening. your blood burns and you. Oh shit, pretty cool though. You see how I'm like a Satanist? Let's have a look at the other one, hemorrhaging. I think hemorrhaging's from Dragon Age 2. It's basically the same thing, just with a different name. This spell corrupts the blood of all foes in the target area, inflicting damage over a short duration. Yeah, that's still cool though. It just had different. Of course it did. Now where the fuck you've took me, you wee bastard. Why don't you scroll away? And we're here. And whilst Lyria may be used to send the individual's waking minds of mages into fate, blood magic can be used to find the sleeping minds of others. There then lies the hearts of one of blood magic's most potent and dangerous abilities to influence and even take control of the actions of other beings. The litter of Athrium. I'm bad at words, am I? Lithium of Athrum. Lithium of Athrum is a plot item in Dragon Age Origins received during the. What does it do? The power to stun and stop demons. The name has the power to stun demons, stop mind controlling, blood magic if it's used. Okay. Fucking. So does that mean vamps are immune? See, now that's a good question. Do vampires have. Some vampires must drink blood to survive. They do this by biting people or animals on the neck with their two long fangs. People who are killed by having their blood drunk by vampires might come back. It does say, you know, they must drink blood to survive, but do they have? That's not answer my question, does it? Since they are plenty partly human, possessing of human bodies, they do have blood, but it's a little different from the kind of blood human has. A vampire. We're going off to a whole nervous topic. Blood. Vampire. Nutritious. I guess. Maybe. I guess it would work because technically they still have blood, but it's not like the type of blood that humans have. And it only says here that obviously creatures without blood are immune. So technically vampires have blood. Technically a lot of people are saying that they have blood. Or at least they drink blood. So it's got to be like obviously in there for a little bit. Maybe if you use that, maybe it can boil their blood inside maybe. I mean, that's the wood. Would vampires be able to build, like, beat blood maybe? That's a very good question. That would be pretty cool. That is a very good question. If you could... So vampires drink blood anyway, so it's going to be in their system anyway. So I don't know how long it would take, say, a vampire to absorb the blood, maybe. Because I know there's a whole different type of vampire out here. I was just making conversation is all. Lol, just a thought. Wait, hey. Now you got me thinking, it's like, could blood magic technically be... It depends on what kind of vampire I take it. Like, is it like an Oblivion, a Skyrim vampire? Because technically they still have blood. Or is it, say... vampires have blood. So, yeah, I would say they're infected. I know some vampires, if they get, like, cut, they're stiff, just, like, heals, like, straight away. And like no blood, but no, okay. So I'm like going through my head of what most vampires I've seen from movies, games, and that. And most of them have bled at some point, but their wounds heal up like really quick because they're vampires. But I guess you could use a blood wound slash I'm just gonna call it blood wound, and it's gonna hurt them, so it's gonna do like constant state of damage. Like they are gonna feel like all the pain, I think. Now see, if we get a blood mage and a vampire and tell them to fight each other, we could do an experiment. But unfortunately how none of these things exist would be very hard. Unless someone wants to make a game and do it for us, then please. That's a very good question. Very good. Where were we? Oh yeah, mind control. Yes, blood magic can also be used to do mind control. And there is the mind control. Basically, a scroll. Cool. Blood magic can also be used to summon demons to the corporate world manifested physically, e.g. shades, since can be bound by mage's will or by possessing the body dead. Demonic oppression of the living person, abominations with abomination whilst possessed of a corpse result in one dead or a creature whom strength and the ability. We kind of saw this in Dragon Age Inquisition. Again, if you haven't played Dragon Age Inquisition, I get this. Or Dragon Age in general. Because Dragon Age is where blood magic is from. I guess. I'll talk about that. But you saw this in Dragon Age Inquisition. So. And it's not good. Basically, you basically kill the host anyway, but they're just possessed. It's bad. It is bad. However, the demons will possess, kill, or summon them. Often, however, the demons will possess, kill, or completely ignore the blood mage. Okay, it is possible, however, to influence the creature of the fae to do one's bidding by forcing them into servitude via their intimidation or pledging one's heart to never do that. Never do that at all. Demons, for example, rely little in the way of bribery. Their nature state is it's rather longing for the world of flesh and blood. If a mage is strong, a demon will seek to possess him or her. Not through force, but through guilt or glide, but basically through cunning, you know, just talking to them. Or you know, most mages do succumb to under stressful situations. Say, oh, they might get killed by a templar, or you know, they might get made tranquil, or just want more power, or like it happened. It literally does happen. Where were we? I've lost. There it is. Should a mage offer them a covenant for eternal certain life through a deal? A mage can negate a demon's conversion for a time though. Should one be aware that demons are well versed in the art of manipulation and it will seek possess the mage at any time. Should the demon get the upper hand, it will result in nation. If enough lives are sacrificed, a blood corpse sacrificed to turn self into a harvest. Harvester. Harvesters are monstrous creatures made from corpses and powered by blood magic. They sustain themselves on the dead, whether long deceased or fleshly killed. Yeah, very bad. Very bad. Not good. Not very good. Yeah, appearance are in Dragon Age. They're very freaky. If you wanna like Google it and find a picture, they are very cool and very annoying to kill. The most powerful magisters who regain of are resigned at the height of Ancient Imperium were even able to use blood magic to physically cross the veil in the Fade. There we go. A feat which required a ritual sacrificing countless slaves and over what the fuck? Two-thirds of the lyrium in the entire empire. Jesus fucking it's a shit ton of lyrium. Like 2/3 of lyrium of the entire Thedas. Common cleared. The true cost, however, came as failed. Conqueror of the Golden City and what the Chantry believes to be the first dark. The Chantry believes their actions unleashed a blight and had Thedas. Alright, well, magic. Ironically, blood magic has been one of the few ways to cure the taint. A Grey Warden blood mage, Alice was able to purify a clutch griffin by using blood magic to draw the taint into herself. Imposed creatures that... all creatures? Oh, that's pretty cool. They had little to anchor the taint. Also, Meryl was able to purify a tainted alluvian with blood magic. You know what alluvian is? Alluvian is a gateway to and Dragon Age. It's a magical mirror of elven origin. Alluvian is a seeing glass. And you can go and you can like... here we go. Ancient lore and present day events hint that blood magic holds the key to incredible power, yet undreamed long thought. Such as power generally requires a terrible sacrifice. However, a debt paid in blood or the blood or even one's own humanity, such as whilst magic itself is by far one end. Blood magic, it's dangerous. With the you know, I like it personally. I like the means of blood magic because you can use it in good ways, like grand crops. But how obviously other people used it, you know, mass sacrifice, go into the Golden City. And then become fucking tainted as shit. It's pretty but making people's blood boil, I just think so cool. Because you're technically killing them from the inside. I just think it takes a drink. their involvement. In theory, like, it's a... by blood. And the codex, score responsibilities. Can I look at the actual skills, my man? We'll have to scroll up. Scroll up and I'll look for the skills. And just, like, kind of, like, see what the... We'll go into origin. Really? Show me blood magic. Aha, blood magic, here we go. So, blood magic is cool. It's called of magics. Oh god, pressing button. And that's on. So basically, you cannot get healed when, say, it's like a sustained mode, as we see here. Shushin, for as long as this mode is active, the caster has health to power spell. Instead of expelling mana, but effect heal. Healing effect modified by 9%, so basically minus 9. That's why you'd usually go for like more health in a build of blood magic. You would try and put. Thank you, Jeff, for your contribution. The health cost of a spell is 10% of mana cost. It's pretty nice. Equip any of the following items: Blood Ring, Robothanis, Promise, or Sagittarius Supersize the effect. If I was ever in the health cost percent, the effect is not stacked with. That's pretty cool. So you can get like stuff like blood controls. Here we go. The Blood Mage forcibly controls the target, making the target an ally. The caster, unless it's check. If the target resists great damage, blood creature, blood magic comes, you know, blood magic. That's what I'm saying. There we go. Obviously, here we go. Got blood sacrifice. The blood maid sucks the life force from an ally, healing the caster, but apparently killing the ally. This healing is not affected by the healing penalty. Blood magic. If you had like a usual tank. It was pretty fucking good, honestly. It was pretty cool. Okay, so let's look at Dragon Age. Come on, because I think they did. Did they do it differently? Oh no! Blood magic was still a thing you use. It had like robber. Now, Grey, the blood mage consumes the residual life force from nearby enemy corpses to regain health. Like I thought that was pretty cool. gain health like from people around you. It had an upgrade as well. Graveyard now drains a small amount of health from living and as well, using that energy to heal mage. Creature without blood work. The spirit damage, it did pretty good. I thought this was pretty good, like the Grave Robber one. I think they did better than Origin there. Cause you still have Sacrifice where you can suck it from allies. But this one you could get from like corpses and people to talent, which was cool. Like, I thought that was great, you know, like harness from the power of dead bodies. But I guess it was that like that was a little bit more vampire-y kind of thing, or like necromancer. And obviously you had Sacrifice with allies, and like that, like that thing was like, oh, the mage gains more health than the party member loses, because the ally gains even more health. Huh? Then you had Hemorrhage, what is basically blood wound. It corrupts the blood of all foes in the target area, inflicts time. What's cool. And you got the paralyzing one, now inflicts more damage and it immobilizes enemies. I think that's cool. And you got Bloodslay, the mage target wit. If the victim dies, as the creature without a blood arrow. But it had blood splatter. When so I think this is really cool. Like when this is a really cool kind of upgrade. So when a blood slave dies, explodes into a shower of gore that damages all nearby enemies. I just think that's fucking just explode. It was it's basically like a walking bomb spell, but not like doing spiritual damage. It was just blood damage. But yeah, that's kind of the history of blood magic. Now, I would say blood magic was not used in Dragon Age. It was talked about in Dragon Age in some of the, not so much story, but more in, what's the word for it? More like the banter, side quest kind of thing, character story arc kind of thing. It was more used in that. But I would say, so obviously, with the knowledgeable magical lore, that was literally the lore of blood magic. Now comes the part of the I don't really want to call it a show, a segment of our little video here, where we talk about what blood magic is in other games. Blood magic, say, in other games is more particularly close to being a warlock. Now, warlocks, say, in WoW, we'll probably talk about that on another episode if I keep going with this. But warlocks are kind of the same as blood mages, because they obviously take power from demons, but they do it differently, where they're just consumed by power constantly. That's what a warlock is. They just want power. They just want power. They just want all the power, you know, from demons and called upon demons for their helps and like minions. That's what from the WoW one. Where else could they be? Oh my god, there's also blood magic, blood mages in Divinity 2. In Divinity 2, their more close blood mages is a necromancer with intelligence and cool chance to deal massive damage, unlike any other mages. The blood magic deals physical damage like rage, but they generally have very good armor. Okay. Okay, so now this is... Okay, here we go. Blood mage, necromancer skill, shackles of pain, raining blood, bloodsucker, mosquitoes, decaying tut, bone cage, bloodstorm. Okay, so it's very necromancer. Like, I would see this as like a necromancer when it can't, say, like Diablo necromancers also turn to blood magic. But necromancer also has the abilities to raise the dead and shit like that, where in blood magic you don't. Cool. But it's still like they would tie, say, a blood mage or blood magic to necromancer. And the necromancer, necromancers don't really have in Dragon Age. Necromancers are really different. Let's go to Dragon Age. Necromancer, there we go. These mages specialize in binding the spirit that are drawn to death. They can put fear of death into enemies, bring in spirits to fight to half even. So, and this doesn't talk about kind of the fear and stuff. It has like death siphon. Every time an enemy dies, you regain both health and mana. So that's power of death. Killing enemies attracts spirits. That increases the power of your spell. Yeah, no, I don't think this. This is more like necromancer is. We'll probably talk about that. Or necromancy lore, maybe. We'll probably get into it. But yeah, I don't think it has part, I would say, of blood magic, but it doesn't like, you don't sacrifice anything. And that's what blood magic kind of like. It's like you have to sacrifice something, have that power. Say, in, you know, I would have to use some of my blood, or I have to sacrifice someone to go, ha, your big fireball, shit like that. You know, and it enhances that fireball to make it even bigger. I don't know, that's really, really bad. It's very interesting. And necromancy isn't that frowned upon. Yeah, no, it's not that frowned upon, I guess. I don't know, I haven't really looked into that. I'll probably, like, at some point, if I ever do a video on it, But yeah, no, I would definitely say it's more than, like, a warlock kind of thing. I think it takes bits and bobs out of a warlock. Let's see. Wow, I spelled law wrong. Actually, we could just write that TLDR. As a channeler's warlocks are essentially magical practices known necrolosses or necromancers, and do what all warlocks do. Powers following the Burning Legion as seek ancestral magic. Okay, they're a little bit like blood magic. I know they can channel the power stronger by sacrificing someone, as seen by Gul'dan in WoW, I must say. But blood magic, I think we kind of got, you know, the gist of what blood magic is. It is a forbidden art, and yeah. But okay, despite blood magic being banned in all entirely Thedas, the Grey Wardens occasionally use it as a means to fight the Dark Spawn. This is confirmed by a warden speaks with Duncan on the topic during Magi. Yeah, so the Grey Wardens, the Grey Wardens are a whole other thing. Grey Wardens are literally
description.
Yeah, it is. The Grey Wardens are order of warriors of all expert abilities to dedicate fighting Darkspawn throughout Thedas. Their headquarters of their founding, Whitehelm Fortress in Shafel. Yeah, the Grey Wardens are known for ignoring a recruit's racial, social, national, and even criminal background. The person of value to character skill. They do not give you pure blood mage. If you really want. And some of the Grey Wardens even use blood magic. He played Inquisition. Hopefully we see more of this, actually. The Whitehelm Fortress in Dragon Age. In Dragon Age 4, actually. I'd like to see. The Maker smiles sadly on his grave. The Chantry has no sacrifice greater than water in war. In war, victory. Vigilance. In sacrifice. The Grey Wardens are my... It is like, if you follow me on Twitter, my thing is Warden Pool. It's Warden QER Metal as an inside joke of streaming. So that was the first episode of Knowledgeable Magical. We talk about all different types of magic in gaming, fantasy. Today's topic was blood magic, and I hope you enjoyed that. You can follow me on Twitter if you really want out of one. You can also follow Mooga Around on Twitter as well if you want to see Final Fantasy stuff that is record a podcast for Final Fantasy 14. If you really want to take a gander at that, or you're thinking about getting into Final Fantasy 14, I would give that a listen. And for me, I love magic in all sense of ways. I'll probably do some magic about Final Fantasy if I do fit. I'm probably going to pick another magic from Dragon Age, and that's going to be Keeper Magic. I'm going to get all my favorite ones out of the way first. If you don't know what Keeper Magic is, so Keepers are what Dalish Elf leaders are. Keepers, and they're very magical, and they have magic they use. What could be all? Also, Twitch. We'll go around radio on Twitch, where I stream, and so does my co-host Chili. I don't know if you'll see Chili on this prologue? not prologue. This episode thing. I wanted this to be a kind of a me thing, where I talk about things I love. That's just not about gaming, it's about magic. And yeah, I'm very laid back. I may have guests at some point if we want to talk about magic, and I might make those episodes where I grab a bunch of other people from different types of games who also love magic. You know, one of those people. Awesome. I do have a Discord. You can find that on the Twitch page. I'll join that and ask questions about magic, and you want me to talk about a certain type of magic that you're interested in, I haven't already done a video on it, then please give me a message. I don't do YouTube that much. But yeah, if you enjoy this, I guess subscribe. No, I don't do YouTube. This is just a way to put this up that I'm going to upload this now. Have a great time. Goodbye. Have a great day. And remember, stay safe out there, because magic, one hell of a shit is out. Okay, that was great. I'm gonna end the stream now. Good day.